Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Penn Jillette here, and you hear that swinging sound. You know that we're talking Free FM. A little bit of jazz going out there. That's the Mike Jones Monster Band playing. I'm playing bass, but more important on that, Jimmy Mack, great guitar player from town. Jimmy McIntosh is laying down that really nice kind of West Montgomery fat sound there. He's the, I've complimented Jimmy McIntosh.
Now we're going to insult him.
Oh, yeah, heavily. But first, I want to build him up a little more before I tear him down, which is what my whole generation did. First, I want to say he's played with Ron Wood, okay? Played with Jeff Beck, monster guitar player. Plays with the Lon Bronson band, which is going to start playing. They've been not playing for a while. And for like 20 years, they've been playing in all these clubs. We're going to start up in Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. Ah, my, how the mighty have fallen. But I'll still probably go over and play with them, do a few tunes and stuff. But Jimmy Mack used to play with Legends in Concert for years and actually wore down the fret on where the A is from playing C.C. Rider behind an Elvis impersonator. And Jimmy Mack used to play there, and I went to see him and had some beautiful conversations with the impersonators. Now, I told a few days ago on the air, I said that Jimmy Mack had told me that some people he thought from foreign countries had believed that they were actually seeing Madonna and Garth Brooks and
right.
All these people. And some people doubt that. I don't know. The impersonators seem to believe it. But I also had the greatest conversation of my life. And this is one of the little tricks you can use. I discovered this accidentally. This is strictly a case of there's no design here. There's no conscious design here. It's strictly evolution. I was talking to a woman, and I stumbled upon a sentence that you can say that makes any conversation surreal. I was talking to a Cher impersonator. And
I know her.
You know her?
I do, yeah. Okay. I met her.
And so I'm sitting talking to a Cher impersonator. Incidentally, Cher may come to Vegas. Celine Dion's contract may be up. And they may replace her with Cher, which I think is a step up. Mostly, someone wrote in, didn't they, and said that the best safe word possible, and keep this in mind, the best, find that, Gmail, I want to read the exact wording, the best safe word for those of you who play around with extreme sex and so on, and you need a safe word, something that you can say that lets people know that it's all over. Yes, I said that I dated a woman whose safe word was just to be safe. But here's a guy named David. Doesn't say where he's from. Oh, he's a disgruntled Canadian. He said, what are the best safe word possible is a word that you would never, ever say. So he says, what are the chances someone having fun of any kind at any time in any context would say Celine Dion? So I think the best safe word, if you're a listener to the show and you engage in extreme sex, I would love your safe word to be Celine Dion. It's also good because you're going to go a little further than your boundaries normally would because you're not going to want to say that name. So this Cher impersonator, because Cher may come in, it all ties together. These shows are perfectly orchestrated. It's like a perfect little box of, you know, they have those puzzle boxes. Every word I say, every stutter, every stammer is all working together. So I met the Cher impersonator. And first I had a conversation with the Elvis impersonator where he was singing Viva Las Vegas. Now, Viva Las Vegas was written by Doc Palmas, who also wrote Save the Last Dance for Me. Fabulous writer, Doc Palmas. And Doc Palmas wrote the words and music to Viva Las Vegas 14 years before he ever visited Las Vegas for the first time. And yet he nailed it, okay? Bright Light City, gonna set my... Now, you know, a lot of times on the air, I have talked about song lyrics that I really, really dislike. Like Paul McCartney's Live and Let Die, Isaac Hayes' Shaft, Frosty the Snowman.
Frosty.
There was one other. Oh, yeah, Dr. Shane. That I have. Of course, Dr. Shane I like, but it is about date rape. And now I've got a song lyric that I'm pretty happy with, which is Viva Las Vegas. You know, how I wish that there were more than just 24 hours in a day. It's just Viva Las Vegas. But I said to the Vegas impersonator playing Elvis, I said, in Viva Las Vegas, you sing every night, Viva Las Vegas, turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. I said, after about 2 weeks, would you even notice? You know, once you've turned day into nighttime and night into daytime, you've accomplished nothing, right? All you've done is it's just like a big drop dead to the people at Greenwich. That's all. That's all it is. Yeah, Alaska, the seasons do that. But no, they don't really do that. They don't really try. They just get longer, you know. I was over in Stockholm to accept my Nobel Prize. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was over there to just do a corporate gig.
It was one of those two.
Yeah, one of them. I didn't actually win a Nobel Prize, but on my way to Stockholm, I sat in the plane going, geez, what if I were winning a Nobel Prize? And wouldn't this, that be cool?
And this were a surprise? They tricked you?
I thought it was.
Yeah, I'm up for the Nobel Prize, and so they pretended to hire me for this gig.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was a surprise Nobel Prize. And the great thing was I was up for the Nobel Prize in physics. But the Queer Eye guys won because they gave sexual favors to the guys in Stockholm. So I went to Stockholm, and at night, you know, like at midnight, it's still light out. You know, you get into that, you know, in the summer, it gets into that, you know, perpetual daytime. But that's not what Viva Las Vegas says, turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime.
They're just flipping them.
As Jim Morrison said, night divides the day, right? Didn't we say night divides the day? Day divides the night, break on through it. It doesn't matter. I was talking to a Cher impersonator, and which is a sentence, you know, that if you're in Las Vegas and I say to my good friend Michael Goudeau, who's sitting here talking to me, if I say to my good friend Michael Goudeau, you know, I was talking to a Cher impersonator, Michael Goudeau says, oh, I know her.
Yeah.
In other cities, that's not true. You go to Salt Lake City and say, I was talking to a Cher impersonator. They go, what? You know, what?
Punch you.
Punch you. We're at Free FM. I'm going to tell the story. 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, that's 3733, or penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. I'm going to tell you that this show is going to be all over the place. Happy Jack likes a couple of subjects that we deal with. That's not going to happen today. Today, it's just anything that pops into my head.
Wild day.
Happy Jack will be less happy, but I'm going to throw him a bone a little later, so to speak. Otherwise, that could be a sexual harassment threat.
It's his birthday tomorrow.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have a big birthday party for Happy
Jack. We're going to throw him a bone tomorrow.
I'm going to read something about breasts maybe later, so that'll make him happy. But I'm talking to a Cher impersonator.
Cher impersonator.
And she's out there with her hair, you know, hair for Cher. And we're talking afterwards, and she says, you know, Penn, I'm not just a Cher impersonator. I do a lot more than just impersonate Cher. And I say, me too. And she says, what do you mean? And I say, what do you mean? And she said, I mean, I believe my life is too wrapped up in Cher. And I say, me too. And she says, what do you mean? And I say, what do you mean? And she says, I mean that I'm so much more than Cher. I said, me too. She said, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean? She said, I mean that my life has been, I'm just too consumed with Cher, and I'm really so much more than that. I said, me too. She said, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean? And I realized that anytime anyone says something crazy to you, you can just say, me too. And when they say, what do you mean? You can say back, what do you mean? And it works perfectly, any place you play. So then she went on. This went on like, you know, probably 12 exchanges where she went, no. I just feel that there's too much Cher in my life. I said, me too. She said, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean? So just, I want to get some Gmails from people. When someone says something to you that's just bug nutty, I mean, not just nutty, but full out bug nutty, just say me too. And then let them explain what they mean. The other thing I started doing was I started saying to people all the time, do you expect me to believe that? That was my answer to everything anybody said. And the remarkable thing is, do you expect me to believe that is not saying you're a liar, you know? Literally, it's just saying, do you expect me to believe that? And what I found was when I said that to just random people in normal conversations, they backed down. It seems like everybody was goddamn lying to me. I was at a strip club, which is not known for where people tell the truth. And this woman came up to me. She was a dancer. She was coming up. I wanted to get me to engage her services in a professional matter of a semi-sexual nature. And she said to me, you know, this is my first day. And I said, do you expect me to believe that? And she said, well, no, it's not my, you know, it's like my first week. And I said, do you expect me to believe that? And she said, well, I mean, my first week here. I've danced in other places before. And I said, do you expect me to believe that? And she said, yes. So, yeah. And this stripper looked precisely like Cher.
Now, I'm going to tell you. More.
Because we're on, have I finished up every story I've started?
I think you haven't finished any.
I did two. I finished the Cher story. I finished the Elvis story. And I'm going to tell another stripper story. This is one of my favorite stripper stories. The guy was the masked magician, Valentino.
Right.
Okay. There's this guy named Valentino. And he...
Did everybody else know that, or did you just blow his cover?
I blew his cover, I think. They did a show on Fox like a million years ago called The Masked Magician.
Sure.
And they asked everybody to do this show before they got to this guy, who's like a dove worker in Laughlin, you know? Enough a magician named Valentino. And he's going to be the masked magician. And he gave away tricks that nobody in the world was doing and gave them away badly. And as far as I know, no professional in magic cared at all. It was nothing. But it went on as a big... Fox presents The Masked Magician. And they tried to get footage. Lance and I were out to dinner, and this film crew runs in and tries to get footage of me and Lance pissed off, you know, at The Masked Magician. And we are just laughing and flipping the finger so they can't use the video. We're moving our hands all over the place. And we're also saying, Valentino, Valentino, Valentino. So they couldn't use the footage. So nobody cared. And they were trying to do controversy, which is the most pathetic thing in American culture, is seeing a corporation try to get controversy. You know, ooh, somebody said on one little cable show on MSNBC that maybe we shouldn't give away magic secrets. We have controversy. Make sure you say when the show is. Make sure you say, okay, yeah, fine. Nobody cares, God damn it. We just do a funny show. We're done, right? Oh, we got caught all the way up to the top of the ladder. People are very concerned about this controversy. We can ride this. You know, Penn, you should go on the Joe Blow show on MSNBC at 3 in the morning and say, you know, I don't think they should give away magic secrets. And then there'll be this controversy. It'll be you and Copperfield against Valentino. And it'll be, oh, no, it won't. No one gives a damn. They're worried about their families. They're worried about their lives, their jobs. They don't care about a couple of dips on TV arguing about something that's already been decided. So there's a big controversy about Valentino. So I'm sitting in a strip club, and I have around me a couple of women who I've engaged their services. Okay, they are. I'm telling the story wrong. So I finish up with the women I'm talking to, and I start walking out, and they're sitting on a couch with a worker there. Is Valentino, the masked magician, okay? Now, he's one of those guys, and there's nothing creepier in the world. He's one of those guys that when he's at a strip club, he thinks he's on a date. So he's sitting there, like, talking to this woman about her parents, you know? Instead of saying, take your G-string off and bend over, here's $40. Right. He's going like, oh, so you go to college. Oh, you're studying to, you want to be a psychology major. Now, that means, as you know, that you're nuttier than a fruitcake. Because when you hear someone is a psychology major, run! Run away! That is the craziest bitch you'll ever bump into in your life. Anyone that wants to become a shrink is nuts. It's like, if you're a geologist, you care about rocks. If you're a psychologist, you care about being nuts. Okay. So I'm walking down. He's on a date with this woman.
You seem a little worked up today.
Even though there's reasons. There's reasons, Michael Goudeau. There's reasons. And he walks out and he goes, and the woman sitting with him, his date,
yes,
who he's paying money to, goes, oh, that's Penn of Penn and Teller. And I hear her say, then I turn, I see that it's Valentino next to her. And he goes, Penn, come over here. So I walk over, and he says to the date, Valentino says to the date, you know that that's Penn, right? And she says, yeah, I just said his name, okay? And he says, that's Penn of Penn and Teller. And she says, yeah, I know. And I go, hi, very nice to meet you. My name is Penn. She goes, nice to meet you. And Valentino says, you know, I was just telling her that I'm the masked magician. And she doesn't believe me. She doesn't believe me that I'm the masked magician. So she knows you're Penn. Would you tell her that I'm the masked magician? And I turn to him and I go, David Letterman, Joan Rivers, Miles Davis, Paul Newman, Angela Lansbury, Charles Mingus, Frank Zappa. What do these people have in common? And Valentino goes, what? And the girl goes, what? And I go, what do they have in common? And he goes, David Letterman, Miles Davis. I go, what do they have in common? He goes, I don't know. I said, they don't wear a goddamn bag on their head. And that's why people know who they are. If you want to be famous, you don't put a goddamn bag on your head. And you will get laid more if you go on TV without a goddamn bag on your head. And I turn to the woman and go, I have no idea who he is. I've never seen him before in my life. And I turn around and walk out. So that is my Valentino at the strip club story. And Valentino, man, calls us and goes, I've done three of these masked magician specials, and now I'm going to do a special where I take the mask off and explain to everybody who my heroes are in magic. It's going to be huge on Fox. So he's working on that new Fox special just like David Blaine is. Ooh, we got new specials coming out. Okay, but you know our specials took 15 years, so I guess yours can take four. You know, because we didn't say it in between. We just didn't do it. So that's covered Cher. I covered Elvis. I covered cheesy publicity on things no one cares about, and either Happy Jack has arthritis in both hands, or he wants me to talk about breasts. I like silicone implants. I think they're fine. A California doctor is indicted in an implants case. A Beverly Hills plastic surgeon, Frederick Corbin, who calls himself the breast expert, which I thought was Happy Jack, but is facing trial in Los Angeles on charges of smuggling silicone implants into the United States and placing them in at least three women. A grand jury inducted, he got the implants from Mexico and falsified patient records to conform to clinical studies. This is why we just need a free market. People should not be smuggling in parts of breasts from Mexico. There's a lot of news. I want to get right to the news. And we're going to get back in the second hunk of the show is going to be very, very clear, concise, and on one subject. Do you expect me to believe that? Me too. What do you mean? What do you mean? Me too. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Anybody that calls in, 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E 3733, you better be ready for, do you expect me to believe that? And what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Always say that back. When anyone says to you, what do you mean? Say, what do you mean? Turn it around. The best defense is a good offense. June Pointer of the Pointer Sisters died Wednesday, and even the surviving Pointer Sisters aren't sure which one she was. Was she the one on the left or the one on the right? We know she was a Pointer Sister. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? I once had, at the University of Massachusetts, I was talking to a woman who spoke French, and this song had just come out.
Right.
And I said to her, what does voulez-vous coucher avec moi mean? And she said, okay. It was the easiest I ever got laid in my life. I just quoted a song lyric, voulez-vous coucher avec moi? She said, yes. I ended up spending the night with her. It was one of the greatest events of my life. But if you say, in this ever-changing world in which we live in, nobody will screw you. There's the difference between the Pointer Sisters and Paul McCartney. I covered all my stories. We'll be coming back very calm, very collected.
I think we're done.
3733 PennRadio@gmail.com. Talking about the issues you care about on Free FM. God damn, that's fast. He plays so fast. I wouldn't dare snap my fingers to that. He's so goddamn fast. That's Mike Jones playing the piano. Playing the Penn Jillette theme. If you want to hear more of Mike Jones, and who doesn't, go to PennRadio.com. That'll click you right over to JonesJazz.com, where you can buy his CDs. He's really good. I hear him every night playing in the Penn and Teller show, and he's great. LaBelle, you idiot! It wasn't the Pointer Sisters that did Voulez-vous coucher avec moi, ce soir. It was LaBelle. I thought you knew something about popular culture.
I don't know what I was thinking when I said it.
You were a fool. I didn't want to interrupt you.
I know.
And tell you because it showed a disrespect, but it was LaBelle. Wasn't the Pointer Sisters. Pointer Sisters like did the nuclear bomb dance or something.
I think they did.
Yeah, something
sure.
Like
that. Sure. Someone else will write in.
several weeks ago, maybe it was several years ago, I don't know, as Bob Dylan said, people just get uglier and I have no sense of time. I don't know how long ago it was. I talked about my brother-in-law, Ed, who I loved dearly, and who I didn't know to lie at all. And I said that he had a teacher named Othus, spelled O-U-T-H-O-U-S-E. And my sister, coincidentally, my brother-in-law's widow, she heard me on the radio say that I believed her husband, and I said he hardly ever lied, but still, my sister wanted to make sure that any doubt I had went away. She has sent me an article from, I think, the Greenfield Recorder, which is the paper that I grew up with, and it has, the headline is Activist Banned from Seal Hunting. It's from the Associated Press, and it's out of Toronto. So they just picked up the Associated Press story. And this is not going to tie in with Paul McCartney. One of the people, the activists who observers' permits were revoked after their arrest last Sunday, are members of the Humane Society of the United States. Steve Outhouse, a spokesman for Hearn, said the activists got too close to the sealers on an ice floe in the Gulf of St. Lawrence. Steve Outhouse, and I bet he pronounces that Othus. So my sister just wanted to send that in and just make sure that there was no doubt that her her husband were telling the truth. And jurors in the Zacharias Massawi trial listened to the cockpit recording from doomed Flight 93 and heard the following exchange. Go, go, move, move. Push, 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 push. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. Prosecutors then apologized for mixing up the cockpit recording with the soundtrack from Backdoor to Baghdad. there is... I was talking to Robbie about this last night over dinner. We went to the Golden Steer restaurant here in Vegas, which we feel is a good place to get whacked. If you're expecting to have a problem like that, it's a good place to go because this is where a lot of your big mob guys. I guess it was a mob place of some sort. So they're used to the cleanup and so on. So Robbie took me there, and we were talking about this kind of weird rarity pornography. And I mean pornography in the bad sense, which is the only time you'll ever hear it on this show in the bad sense, about this cockpit recording. I mean, these people died in an airplane. And this guy who was in a jail cell during that was part of the plot to do it. And they're playing the cockpit recordings, and they're kind of letting the jury just hear little parts of it and just cleaned up, and it'll never be heard again. And I think this is one of those things where... either you destroy the tape and never listen to it, or you let it out into the sunshine of the public and let people decide what they want to do with it. It feels like rarefying it this way, you know, making it like a rare Dylan recording that we can't get our hands on. There seems to be just a real unpleasantness about this, and there may not be a way. I mean, the kindness to the families. Our hearts go out to the families of the people that were on that flight, 93, and... you could not be a more horrible thing and a more horrible death. And the families deserve to have as much peace as they can get, although they'll get no peace for the rest of their life. There's nothing worse that can happen. But the idea that this is only in the court and you can just barely hear it, and there's, the New York Times writes a transcription but says the tape will never be heard, all seems to me... creepy and unpleasant. Maybe there's no way around it. Maybe with freedom of press and the and having to have this man have a fair trial, which is of ultimate importance, that every single person accused of terrorism has the fairest trial we've ever given in this country, because that's how we win. We win by fair trials. We win by being fair in every way. But I just don't know how you show some sort of compassion for the families and still have news gathering. And I guess this is a big problem, because you have the tape out there, then some fool on morning radio is going to make some sort of joke about it, and that could hurt people. And that's a real problem, because I've talked about this before. We did the movie The Aristocrats, and in it there's jokes about incest. And Bob Saget does a lot of these. And we did these interviews in New York to pimp the movie, and Saget was there very kindly. And this woman ambushed him, right, and said, you did this monologue, you were really funny, you made some jokes about incest, I'm an incest survivor. And then she broke down and cried in front of Bob Saget and said, what gives you the right to say that in a movie where my heart is opened up and I'm hurt? And Saget, of course, as a very smart, very sensitive guy, and one of the greatest men I know is Bob Saget, fell apart, And I went in and said to her, my mom and dad died fairly close together, and I was very close to my mom and dad. And after that, I could not watch any television show where people were grieving. I just couldn't. And I'd watch a Columbo, and they'd have a plot point graveside, and I would fall to pieces crying. My heart would really be broken and bring up these painful images. And I can't blame Columbo for that. And I said, and you can't blame Bob Saget. The movie said it was going to be filthy language. The movie said it was going to deal with taboos. What that is saying to people is not, oh boy, it's controversial, come see it. It's not saying to people, this is for everybody. It really is saying what it's saying. When I see a movie that's advertised as fantasy, I don't go because it sucks. To me, okay? And when I was, after my parents died, I had to be careful. I had to say, well, you know, if I'm watching a show that's about murder, people might die, and that might bum me. So that's the problem I have with art, is that you have to take responsibility. There are people who have had horrible deaths in their family that come from things that are rather mundane and all around the place. You know, if you had a family member die in a cooking accident at a stove, then does that mean that every single thing that shows a stove then has to be careful about you? No, you have to be careful. So as much as it broke Saget's heart, and I don't think that Saget ever really recovered from that day. He was still really shook at the end of the day and had trouble doing the interviews. It's a problem. So I read this joke about, backdoor to Baghdad and making the joke about this Flight 93. And I really think about if someone happened to be listening, you know, to this and heard that and it hurt them. I feel awful about that. But yet every single thing I read, I did a Pointer Sister joke, right? And then that could hurt somebody who was a member of that family. So I think there's just this problem that anything you say in an open exchange of ideas can upset somebody. And you have to say what you want. And if you think you're going to be upset by something that's said, you have to be careful yourself. And speaking of things that can upset people, FEMA has announced a major overhaul in anticipation of this year's storm season. Significant features include upgrading phone systems, installing a GPS system to track supplies, and buying Sean Penn a set of water wings. Now, I read about Sean Penn being down there in New Orleans. You know, he was in a rowboat saving people. And I'm wondering just how that happens. I mean, is Sean Penn sitting watching TV, he sees the hurricane and says, I want to book a flight as close to the disaster area as I can, then I'm going to rent a truck and a rowboat and go out and save people? I mean, how does Sean Penn end up there? And is it just that actors, you know, we do live shows, right? We're at the Rio all the time. But actors, I guess, you know, work really concentrated for like 8 months. Then they have like 5 months off, and he's sitting home during that. And what's he trying to do? I mean, I guess the point is he's saying it's easy for Sean Penn, you know, fool actor, to get a rowboat. So why isn't the government doing more? I mean, he can make statements to the press. I mean, I know that Sean Penn and is sincerely trying to help people. You know, of course he is. If you're in a rowboat pulling people out of the water and saving their lives, you're helping people. You are bulletproof. You're unassailable. We can't attack him for that. But what the hell is he thinking? I mean, how does he get there? Well, how does that go? I mean, is he like at, you know, at Starbucks with his buddy and goes, you know, he takes a sip of his latte and goes, let's go to New Orleans and get a rowboat and pull some people out of the drink. I mean, is that the way that goes? I mean, how
it's
is that?
It's like the God joke, isn't it? I sent Sean Penn in a boat.
Yeah, that's what God does. When you're in a real disaster time, God speaks to Sean Penn. And you go to him, please speak to the Army Corps of Engineers. No, we're speaking to Sean Penn. I don't want Spicoli pulling up in a rowboat to save my life. Give me someone who's trained in this. I just don't know. Another thing Robbie and I were talking about last night is how does that happen? How does Sean Penn do that? But Sean Penn, I guess, is political, and he probably thinks about his acting less than he thinks about helping other people, which is good, unless you're the producer of Interpreter. And then it's a bad thing. Maybe he should have thought more about his acting. I don't know. This is Penn Jillette, very sure this morning that I don't know a goddamn thing. 866-313-3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. I know one thing. We're going to be back. We're going to be back with more swinging jazz, random chat. Chat. LaBelle. LaBelle. She had a ball, which is called LaBelle. Talk about love one way across the track. You can hear a man a wailing. sax. Sax wailing here on the Big Pen Gillette Show. I'm in Las Vegas. I'm talking to anybody that will listen. A brand new telescope unveiled in Massachusetts Observatory will capture light signals transmitted to Earth by extraterrestrials. Governor Mitt Romney announced that as soon as the telescope discovers evidence of extraterrestrial life, the aliens will be required to purchase health insurance in Massachusetts. I think if you're against, if you believe that socialized medicine, universal health care, is immoral, if you believe that taking money at gunpoint by the government and redistributing it to different people is morally wrong, you don't need to know anything about this Massachusetts health plan. If you, however, believe that universal health care is a right and an important thing, you should learn everything about this Massachusetts thing. Because one of the things they're saying is if you have enough money and you don't buy health care, you are then fined. That's nuts to begin with. But more important than that, how do they find that out? How much paperwork is involved? I mean, this is going to turn doctors into accountants. You know, my my father-in-law, Bob Zoltan, is a doctor in Florida. And as far as I know, right about everything. I mean, I could not get along with him more. And we always call him for medical advice. And he is retiring early from being a doctor, which he is a terrific doctor, because he's sick of all the paperwork, you know, all this stuff. I mean, doctors spend a lot of their time doing paperwork instead of treating patients. So if you are in favor of health care, please take the time to look into this Massachusetts health care program before you get totally behind it for the whole country. I'm against it just on general principles because I am a nut. One of Bollywood's top stars, Salman Khan, which I guess is the Indian equivalent of Sammy Khan, was sentenced to 5 years in jail for poaching an antelope. That's not funny. Antelopes have rights. There's some people that love antelopes dearly. Antelopes are a revered figure. Antelopes are beyond reproach. You are morally raping this antelope, Penn. 5 years for poaching an antelope. And by this time tomorrow, poaching an antelope will be L.A.'s coolest expression, denoting a career-ending act of stupidity. It will replace letting the baby drive. You know, I heard Penn Jillette on Free FM yesterday. Man, he was poaching an antelope. You know, he was just, you know, the headline in the paper, you know, Reuters says Penn Jillette poaches antelope on his show. Free FM tries to cash in. That'd be the full headline. Penn Jillette poaches antelope. Now, why are you talking about antelopes that way? There's people that love antelopes. There are Native Americans who worship the antelope. And you said, I want to hear the recording again to hear exactly what you said about the antelope. You know, did you really say that the antelope had a sexual kink? Is that what you said? Don't you know that a lot of our Native Americans worship the antelope? Wait a minute. We can turn this to our advantage. Go on as America's top antelope hater. Why, you'll be Mr. Antelope hater. Who? Penn Jillette. Penn Antelope hater Gillette. The billboards in Vegas will say, see the antelope hater. What would he say next? What could he possibly say next? He's a wild man. He'll say anything about the antelope. But wait a minute. It was Christopher Hitchens that first spoke about the antelope. We don't care. It's you. You have
the
a ponytail.
The antelopeter.
The antelopeter. Penn Gillette, the antelopeter. Polish government wants to change the name of Auschwitz in order to emphasize the fact that the Germans, not the Poles, are responsible for concentration camps. Poland also wants to change the name of the camp mascot from Karl the Collaborator to Henrik the Horrible. The United Nations is taking the request under advisement, but has already rejected a request to add two new rides. That's not going to bother people as much as the antelope thing. I mean, the antelope. Did Penn cross a line with antelope hating? Tune in to MSNBC. You know how many people watch? I mean, I've done shows in MSNBC. You know, yeah. It's like 800,000 people, you know, which is a huge number. That's a lot. That's more number than I have guest rooms, you know. And when we are doing our show, we perform for 1,000 people a night. So that's 80 shows. No. That's 800 shows. You know, that is how many people we will reach in 3 years, you know, two and a half years of doing the Penn and Teller show. It's a lot of people. But the people, when they have those numbers, those people aren't watching. Those people have the TV on, and there's a big difference. Those people are actually living their lives. Hundreds of gay parents are lined up early to get tickets to the annual White House Easter egg roll. Rather than protest, most of the parents say they can bring something new to the event, like a new hiding place. Well, maybe that's not. You can hurt people's feelings. You know, imagine the people that worship eggs. You know, there's a whole group of Scandinavians who worship the egg for its perfect roundness and its symbol of fecundity.
Fecundity?
Yeah, that's what I said. You know, I was in a group last night of people, none of whom knew the word fraudage. I brought up the word fraudage in a joke. There was a joke, you know, and often a joke calls for the word fraudage.
Yes.
Right? So we were all sitting around. It was Junior's, Jeff, the guy who works for me. It was his birthday. So we got a Cookie Puss cake from Carvel, which I paid for. I'm not getting any sort of special stuff from Carvel. Penn Jillette pimps Carvel for no reason. I think Cookie Puss is a funny name, and mostly I like Cookie Puss because of the Beastie Boys. And I went in to the Carvel, and there's a young woman working behind the counter, and I go, Cookie Puss, you know, like the Beastie Boys. No reaction at all. So how old are you? How old are you when the bands of your adulthood are not remembered? You know what I mean? I mean, I expect them to not know who George Harrison is, okay? I expect them to not know Led Zeppelin. I expect them to have no idea who the Cars were. I'm fine with that. But the Beastie Boys, I mean, really, the Beastie Boys. Shouldn't young people know who the Beastie Boys are, you know? Maybe they shouldn't. I don't know. But, and I had her right. The amazing thing was, and the world has changed for the better, and I think it's mostly because of Free FM, penradio@gmail.com. It used to be, I went to get a T-shirt that had obscenity on it once. And the guy at the T-shirt place.
At the strip club?
This is a strip club, yeah. This is totally anecdotal. This is no basis in science, which I should just do a general disclaimer. Godot and I are jugglers. So if you think anything we're saying is scientifically accurate, you've got another think coming. If you're not talking about throwing things in the air and catching them, we don't know. Incidentally, you know, Jason Garfield, and we had Chris Bliss on the air. He was great. Jason Garfield's career has taken off.
That's great.
Because of the Dateline thing. Because of the Dateline thing, you know, everybody's interested in Jason Garfield. So he's doing, get this, he's doing this new Simon, what's his name? Simon Cowell? Simon Cowell?
Cowell.
Cowell. I know. You don't have to yell. Simon
the,
Cowell.
The guy.
He's doing that this guy. New juggling show. Yeah. I mean, not juggling show, but a variety arts show.
Sure.
Jason is so in.
Yeah.
Because of the Dateline thing, Jason is in. He's going to do 10 balls and break a world's record or something.
And then they'll say you're stupid. That'll be Simon's job. You're stupid. You did 10 balls, you're stupid.
Is that what he does?
That's what he does, yeah.
Okay.
It's cool.
And Jason, that's cool. Michael Goudeau.
It's a great show. Yeah. TV reviews. Simon Cowell says you suck. That's cool.
He's also doing the house rap party.
Really?
Yeah.
Hugh Laurie? House.
And Hugh Laurie is a juggler.
I didn't know that.
Yes. He juggled three balls on the show. And if someone juggles three balls on their television show, you know they're a big juggling fan. Tom Hanks. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Hugh Laurie. Jugglers. Jugglers, all of them. Johnny Carson was a juggler. Steve Martin was a juggler. You know, Boutros Ghali is a juggler. Very good juggler.
I didn't know that one.
Well, that's not true. That's why.
Oh, okay.
I made that up. But it would be cool, wouldn't it? I would like to know. People could write into. This is the kind of thing we care about in this show. Write into Penn Radio.
Famous evil jugglers.
No. I don't want evil. Boutros Ghali isn't evil. You don't name something twice that's evil. Duran. Okay, Duran is evil. Duran. New York is a good example of good named twice. Circus out here, sucky casino. Duran, absolute sucky band. Sucky. As a matter of fact, both bands named after things in Barbarella. Steely Dan is named after Naked Lunch, right? The sexual device used in Naked Lunch. That's where they get Steely Dan. And Duran is the evil person in Barbarella. But things named twice. Boutros. I would like someone to write in to penradio@gmail.com and tell me the most famous person not in entertainment who's a juggler. I want to know a Nobel Prize winner who's a... And I don't mean does three balls with oranges for his grandkids. I'm talking about I want at least four balls, okay? At least four balls in a comfortable pattern, preferably five. Who is the highest ranking person in the world? Who won the chemistry Nobel Prize that is a juggler? I want to find out where this army of jugglers. You know, a lot of times we think, well, we're on the air, you know, trying to rally together atheists. Fine. Atheists are very hated. Jugglers are not hated. Jugglers are laughed at and scorned. So we want the laughed at and scorned. I want to know how many jugglers are listening to this show. And if you're not a juggler, become one. Because, you know, creationists, you're not going to convince them to be an atheist. You know, you're just not going to. We have more evidence. We have missing links. We have everything. All the evidence is there, a preponderance of evidence. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt, and they still remain creationists. But, you know, we can make a difference. We can convince creationists to be jugglers, and then we can all be together. So please, if you are a strict creationist, learn to juggle. Get the Complete Klutz Book of Juggling.
I think there's, you know, jugglers for Jesus.
There are jugglers,
there are
for,
jugglers
Jesus.
For Jesus.
So we should tap into them. Yes. Jugglers for Jesus, listen to our show. We're talking juggling. It's not just anti-antelope. Even if you're somebody that thinks that the antelope is revered and did a lot of good for the people of India, even if you believe that, learn to juggle. Join us. It was reported on Wednesday that Swedish geologists have discovered 500 million-year-old fossilized worm feces, a discovery that makes April 12, 2006, the slowest news day ever. When you are talking about fossilized worm droppings, you have really crossed the line. And that's where we're going to go. I want one person to write in an angry letter. I'm now soliciting angry letters. Penradio@gmail.com. Write in an angry letter about why I shouldn't have talked about worm feces. First of all, worm feces is one of the greatest things in the world. It's a fabulous good thing. Darwin wrote a lot about this, you know.
Yes.
If you don't have earthworms with their worm feces aerating the gardens, we don't even have plants. And on top of that, we've talked about ants on this show. Because we are pro-ant and anti-antelope, just so you know. Just so you know, we're just going through the A's. We are going through the A's on this show. We're going to tell you what we're for and what we're against. We are against antelopes. We are for ants. I started reading this book, this freak-out book that I read in the bathtub when I can't sleep. It's a freak-out monster book called Parasite Rex, okay? It's about parasites in the world. And the number of species of parasites is four times the number of species of non-parasites. So the ants pale in comparison. And I am reading this book, and they are talking about things that live in people, usually in other countries, that are just, I mean, tapeworms just freak me out. The idea of a tapeworm makes me nuts. The fact that something can live inside you and then you can look after you've relieved yourself and see something wiggling in there, not pleasant. I hate tapeworms. Turns out the tapeworms are the Mickey Mouse of the parasite world. They are easy. They are happy. There is disgusting stuff living in our guts. Really disgusting stuff. Maggoty for maggots. But maggots aren't parasites. Houseflies come under the category of us. They're on our side. In this particular battle, flies are on our side. Flies, antelopes, ants, and Mother Teresa all working together. We're all living people working together. Well, she's not living. But Michael Goudeau, what I meant by Mother Teresa, as a matter of fact, what I always mean by Mother Teresa on this show is Michael Goudeau. It's my cute little nickname for the guy who sits across from me. Michael Goudeau, that's what I call him. We all have pet names for people we love. Ah, damn antelopes. This is Penn Jillette saying, you know, even if I don't seem it sometimes, I love you.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.